This afternoon we're turning once again to the book of Psalms, and today our little journey through this wonderful book of inspired poetry brings us to Psalm 93. These words are very brief. This is one of the shortest Psalms, but as with all brief portions of Scripture, what may be few in words is certainly great and long and deep in meaning. Think about these words as I read them to you. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. There are four principal ways by which nations are governed. There is oligarchy, there is monarchy, there is democracy, and there is theocracy. Let's just think about these for a moment as I introduce this psalm. What is oligarchy all about? Oligarchy is about a privileged few ruling a nation. And the people don't have any choice in the matter. The privileged few have all of the power and they have all of the say in the governance of their people. Communism is an example of oligarchy. There is a monarchy. Monarchy is one person having the rule of law. This person who wears the crown, this person who rules, receives their throne as a consequence of birth. Although we have witnessed dictators across the world who have seized power as a result of a military coup. A ruler, for example, like Saddam Hussein, acted by and large as a monarch, although he called himself a president. There is democracy, and we're very familiar with democracy. Democracy is where the people of a nation can change the government of their nation. And democracy today is perceived to be the fairest form of government, the ideal, if you like. And then we have theocracy. What is theocracy? Theocracy comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God. Theocracy is about God reigning. It's about God ruling. It's about God governing a nation. Old Testament Israel was a theocracy. At least it was a theocracy up until the days of Saul, whenever monarchy took over. The people demanded a king. And before Israel had a king, God ruled his people through judges and through prophets. He spoke his word to these men of God, and they governed the nation on God's behalf. But God raised up the leader. The leader did not become a leader because of birth. He did not become a leader because he seized power for himself or because the people chose him. The leader ruled the people because God raised him up for this task. And this was known as theocracy. But whenever we look at the Psalm 93, we're looking not at the governance of a nation or a particular people. We're looking at the governance of the world. The world is governed today. The world is not governed by an oligarchy, by a privileged few. The world is not governed by a monarchy, by a king. The world is not governed by democracy. The world is governed by theocracy. God is in charge of the world. He rules and reigns over this world. He is God, and we cannot question his will, his design, his purposes. God is God. God is ruling. God is reigning. And this is what the psalm is teaching us here. And it gives us a great insight into the world. And it gives us a view of biblical world order. A biblical and a Christian worldview. God is reigning. And let's just think about what this psalm has to say about God reigning. God reigns in majesty, we are told. He is clothed with majesty. Majesty is very difficult to define, but it is an attribute of God. We use the word majesty to describe a king or a queen. The word majesty describes the glory of the person. The word majesty describes the preeminence of the person. God is clothed with majesty. God is clothed with holiness. He is majestic in his holiness. God is set apart from all others. There is no one like him. God is clothed with majesty. We stand in awe in his presence, this great being who rules over all the earth. We're also told here that he is clothed with strength. Here we see his power. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who formed the universe, the one who set the sun ablaze. He is the omnipotent one. He is infinite in his power. There's nothing that he cannot do. The governments of this world are limited as to what they can do. Even the most powerful people in the world are limited as to what they can do. But God is not limited. And we're also told that God's throne is established. And this would refer to God's immutability. He is unchangeable. The governments of this world, they change. And we all change. That's the truth of the matter. We're all changing. We're all growing old. We cannot always depend on government. In fact, parties sometimes make promises as they go into elections, and whenever they are faced with the realities of government, they have to break those promises. The changeability of mankind, we cannot depend on man, but God's throne is established. He is always the same. The same God that we view in the scriptures is the same God who rules and reigns today, and this is very comforting, isn't it? He is in control. But this God who reigns, he is everlasting. Thou art from everlasting, we are told. He is neither beginning of days nor has he end of life. He is the eternal one. It is said that experience is a good thing when it comes to government. And I suppose it is. Experience is a good thing in every walk of life. An inexperienced person can make mistakes out of immaturity. But God is so mature. God has all the experience in the world. He is perfect. Because he has always been there, from the beginning and before the beginning. This is the God who reigns over the world. But we're also told here in the verses 3 and 4 that he reigns over the waters. And we're told here that the flood waters, they lift up their waves, they lift up their voice. But this God is mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. What is this all about? The waters of the sea in the Old Testament are a common picture of humanity. The wicked are like the troubled sea, always moving about, Isaiah said. The waters refer to the sea of humanity. And mankind is a restless being, isn't he? The world is in a constant state of upheaval. Just look around you at the world today. There is upheaval. There are things that trouble us and concern us. There are murders and genocides and massacres. And there are people moving and there are threats of war. We're living in troubled times, the heaving mass of humanity moving about. And ultimately man is lifting up his voice in defiance against God. The sin of man is creating the terrible mess that the world is in at this time. But God rules and reigns over all of that. God is in control of all of that. God's working out his purposes through all of that. God is in control. That's the picture. And you may be troubled as you look at the world. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Lift your eye away from men, away from political leaders, away from governments. And lift your eyes to the one who presides over the kingdoms of this world. He is in control and he makes no mistakes. As the psalmist concludes this very brief but elegant poem, he says this, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Why does he talk about the house of God at the end? Because God is interested in his house. And in this New Testament age, God's house is the church. And the church is not a particular denomination. It's not a particular assembly of believers. It's all of God's people everywhere who worship him in spirit and in truth. God, as the King over all the earth, is building his church. He's interested in the church. His glory is the church that Jesus Christ died for, the church that Jesus Christ gave his life for. The church is the bride of his son. So God is building up his church. Whatever happens in the world, we know that God is constantly drawing out a people for himself, that they might be part of this great body, the church of Christ. God's testimonies are sure. God's word will stand. God's word will not fail. God will do his purpose. I wonder today, are you in the purpose of God? Have you submitted yourself to Him? Have you given Him your life? Have you surrendered to Him? Are you part of His church? Let's get a biblical worldview today. Let's get a realistic worldview. Let's see God for who He is. Let's trust Him and honour Him and obey Him, that we might know Him with all of our hearts. I thank you so much for listening.